in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for every life that's here today. And Lord, it might be strange to some that these people, they praise the Lord out loud. They praise him together. Well, I'll tell you, thank you, God, that you showed us through King David. Oh, he was encouraged of the Lord. And when they brought the ark in, the presence of God, he couldn't do anything but dance and praise God. Oh, Lord, he didn't even care if he was clothed with anything. And he praised the Lord and he danced before God. And oh, that wife, he looked at him and she was ashamed. She was embarrassed. She said, well, that's not how a king would act. And Lord, you shut up her womb that she was unfruitful to her death. Lord, help us to be quickened. God, I want to be fruitful. And Lord, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And it's time that people start to begin to not be ashamed and be thankful that it would be sincere. A joy unspeakable and full of glory. Flood your people today with the love of the Savior. Let us know more about you, Jesus, because that's what it's all about, you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. The greatest love story ever told. Amen. Greatest love story ever told. Now, some don't understand that. They don't understand that statement about the Bible. And then, even those that do, how we continually need to be reminded and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and never stop growing in the knowledge of the greatest love story ever told. And I believe in some way, shape, or form, maybe here's how it all began in John 3:16. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. I'm so thankful I have a hard time getting through John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the love story began. The Father so loved. And the Father so loved that he completely gave us Jesus. He completely gave us that which he cherished. That which is the only beauty there is. The one who is altogether lovely. The only begotten son. And I have to tell you, that overwhelms me as a dad. I couldn't give up my sons. I couldn't. There was no way. But he's God. And he gave his son. And there's none to be compared with his son. Yet he gave him fully, and he gave him freely. And he gave him to you, and he gave him to me. Yet that, brothers and sisters, is really just the beginning of the magnificence of the greatest love story ever told. You see, he didn't just give Jesus to us. He gave him to save us. He gave us Jesus to die for us. He gave us the innocent lamb, the sacrifice, the only sacrifice for us. that had to be made sin for us on a cross of shame. And there upon that cross, and as he was going to that cross, they would beat him. And they would spit upon him. And they would mock him. And they would tear his flesh and his face. And it says in the Word of God that his visage, his body, was marred more than any man's. And they nailed him to that cross. And upon that cross they mocked him. They mocked him as king. They mocked him and said, "If you are the Lord, take yourself off of that cross." But they did not realize that the only thing that was holding him upon that cross was him himself. The one who held the nails together. The one who held the wood together. The one who stretched out his arms and gave his hands, gave his feet and gave his pierced side, and gave up the ghost to die for you. But yet, as all that time was nearing, here's all that he could say about it in his heart. In Hebrews 12:2, "Oh, for the joy that was set before him. Oh, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now he says that as all that horror was about to come upon him. All that was going on to him was joy. His desire, his glory, his thanksgiving was to die that horrible death upon that cross. To be separated from his Father. Jesus faced an alone that only he will ever know. And all because he's so loved in the greatest love story ever told. No greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. And let us remember once again, not only did he lay down his life, he was made sin. He took that sin. Praise God, the sacrifice, our Redeemer. Praise God, we are redeemed. And not with gold or silver, but by one thing, the blood of Jesus that poured forth upon that cross. To him, the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Now, but once again, that's just the beginning of the love story. You know, when people love so much, they just don't want to leave, do they? They don't want to part from one another. But this Jesus who loved more than anyone, any man, very God of very God, he loved so much, he was willing to depart from us to give us more. As the word of the Lord tells us, by ascending and taking the seat at the right hand of God was the only way that he could send to us the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 16, Jesus is saying farewell to his disciples. These are his disciples that he had been with day and night for 3.5 years. They had supped with him, they had visited with him, they had cried upon him, they had touched him, they had held him. As John said, "I laid my head upon his breast." And here Jesus is. Brothers, I'm going to go. And he tells them here in John 16:7, I tell you the truth. It's expedient. It's profitable for you that I go away. Isn't that amazing? This is Jesus. You can't place yourself in their shoes. But they're sitting there going, what? What do you mean you're going to go away? We love you. We're just beginning to see that you love us. And now you're going to go? But Jesus said, oh no, it's profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. See, earlier on, Jesus said that the Comforter, he is with you, and he shall be in you. And so you go on down to verse 12, and Jesus said, the reason I'm going to send this Comforter to you, the reason I have to go away because I love you so much, is I have yet, as it says in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Boy, if there was ever a verse that would be so impactful to any life that loved the Lord, why you need the Holy Ghost, will you please listen today? Jesus was with these guys for 3.5 years. He talked to them day and night. He ministered to them day and night. But there was more. There was more love. There was more truth. There were things that he wanted them to know that there was no way that they could know with him there. He had to go because he had to send the Holy Ghost, the power of his might, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, who had been with them, ministered, but there was yet something that was going to be transformed. They were going to be filled with the Holy Ghost to know the truth, to know the things that Christ Jesus wanted to say to them, and with that, to have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. See, when love shed abroad in your heart, you begin to live differently. Mm-hmm. That's power, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? And see, they even know that with kids. Kids that are really loved by their parents, there's love, in a sense, shed abroad in their heart because they know that their parents love them. And they get confident. There's a power. They believe because their parents have instilled that in them that, I love you. See, that's what the Father does to his children. Amen. And this is what the Holy Ghost was sent there, was to give them power, to let them know the love of Christ. Oh, they knew the love of Christ because Jesus had told them. And they were going to see the love of Christ because Jesus was going to put himself up on that cross here in just a few days. And he was going to hang there and he was going to die for them. But then there was even more to this story, because there was more love that Jesus wanted them to know. And it was only going to be ministered to them by the Holy Ghost, is why Jesus Christ had to ascend at the right hand of the Father to send them the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Holy Ghost as they were at Pentecost. And as they were, praise God, at the camp just a few days ago. Because the word of the Lord never changes. As it says here, why? In verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into some truth? Into a little bit more truth? Into all truth. How many religions today and people that you'll hear preach the word of God, even say about certain books of the Bible? And I've heard it said about Revelation, and yet even in Revelation, it says, hide not or seal not the things of this book. Know this prophecy. And yet you have men that are religious men, supposed to be men of God. Oh, you can't understand Revelation. Even though God tells you to understand it. Or then you go to a church that says, you know what, don't go, you don't need to bring your Bible because we'll tell you what you need to know. You know what the will of the Lord says in 2 Timothy? I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Where do you hear that in church today? By the grace of God, you hear it here. You need to know the Word of God. That's what we're here for. Praise the Lord. And this is what Jesus left for, because He so loved. I want you to know me. I want you to know me. I want you to know my love for you. That's how you know me. My love. And how immense this love is. So he goes on there and he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth. Why? Because he will not speak of himself. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and he shall show it unto you. It also means he'll make it yours. He'll show you what you have, because we are blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Praise God. So this greatest love story ever told, praise his name. He loved his disciples so much, he loved us so much, that he left the presence of man to ascend to the right hand of God to give us the Holy Ghost. And how wondrous it was to see the outpouring of the Spirit upon those children at camp. It was awesome. As I mentioned earlier, a couple of the pastors said, I've never seen that before. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad you saw it today. Praise the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this. God help us to never take it for granted. And it wasn't just another language that was going on there. It was love, wasn't it? You could see it. You could see it in those little vessels. There was love. It wasn't just saying words. Oh no, that was spirit power. That was the beginning of many of them, that love was beginning to be shed abroad, because only the Holy Ghost can do that. And then, hallelujah, you talk about being a Philadelphia saint, the Philippians, you're off to the races. And run. See, that's why, by the grace of God, people that get filled with the Holy Ghost, now you need to hear Paul's gospel. That's why he gave the Holy Ghost in that perfect order. See, Paul's gospel didn't come to Paul until after Pentecost. Because you couldn't receive it without the Holy Ghost. That's why it says the sons of the prophets, those in the Old Testament, they wrote these things. They wrote the Song of Solomon. They wrote Genesis 24. They wrote Esther. And on and on and on and on, Ruth. They wrote those things for who? For us. And it says that those prophets, when they were writing those things, they knew that they were more than just stories and occurrences of, more than just occurrences of God's miracles. More than just what God had done for these people. They knew there was a mystery in there. Because God quickened their heart. And Daniel even exposes that. He wanted to see more. But God shut up the book. And told Daniel specifically, son, this is not for you. But as the word of the Lord tells us through Paul, and even Peter, they wrote those things for us. Amen. Oh, and it gets better. It gets better. So see, the Holy Ghost is not just giving for this infilling language. The Holy Ghost is to give us power to know Him. To know Him. Isn't that what Brother Paul said? Isn't that so wonderful there in Philippians? 30 years after that road to Damascus journey where the Lord appeared to him, he's saying that I may know Him. And I'm saying that today, brother, that I may know Him. To know Him in Paul's gospel. Oh, yeah. Now, those that might have heard this saying from the very first time today, what's he talking about, Paul's gospel? I'm talking about in Paul's epistles, as he says, it was the gospel that was given to me. It was hidden, but now is made known. And I'll sum it up, that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. And Jesus Christ will have a bride. And that bride will come out of the church. It's called a glorious church. And so wonderful, it's the mystery of the ages that was shown to Paul. And the Holy Ghost, praise God, allows us to know Him in that calling so personally that you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and everybody in here, that you would know that He's calling you to be in that bride. Amen. That's what happens. That's called love shed abroad. See, love makes you confident. I mentioned my wife earlier today. I remember when I saw her, I fell in love. And I did. She didn't, but I did. Took a while. I told her, don't look, you just have to pray. No, I'm just kidding. But, the beautiful thing about that is that love began to be shed abroad in my heart for her. And I wanted her. And as I began to know her, I loved her more. Now, when I first saw her, I'm not saying, you know, how we can get in a fantasy. Oh, yeah, this and that. But we'll call it puppy love. Okay. So we had puppy love. But that puppy love wanted me to get to know her. And so we would write letters back and forth because she lived in Texas and I was here. So I had to read about her. You have to read about Jesus. And so as I got more letters, I began to know a little bit more about her. But then something happened. I got letters about how much she loved me. And wow, did that love begin to just explode in my heart. And then I wrote her letters back how much I loved her. And then the love letters that came back from her even got bigger and grander and greater. Until finally I said, oh my, I got to marry you. Is that not the way it is as you go on with Jesus? It's the love letters to know Him. The Holy Ghost here today, praise God, little cookie on a shelf to us, amen. That love shed abroad, the Holy Ghost to know His love for us, knowing it in the depths of spirit and truth, hearing His voice, and hearing a voice that's beyond God, hearing a voice that's beyond even my Savior, but hearing the voice that's the lover of my soul. That's the voice I hear. When He speaks to me, I'm telling you one thing I hear. I love you. Oh, I love you. Amen? This is the intimacy of a spouse. This is the courtship of a lover. Yes, this is a language that's spoken, if you will, between the Shulamite and her love in the Song of Solomon. And this is the love that sanctifies us and sets us apart unto Him. That's why you come to this meeting. Because you're in love. And you found out it's because He's in love. You understand that? You found out He's in love, and then you fell in love. Yes, you did. You love Him because He first loved you. And it's always that way. He's always first. So when you come into bridal knowledge of Him, you know what happened? You realize that He's in love with you. And then you begin to fall in love with Jesus. But see, you have to hear that message, don't you? See, without hearing that, you would never know. Without that understanding, you're going to be like the Shulamite's little sister in the Song of Solomon. She saw something about a marriage from afar off, but there was no way that was for her because she was just a child. That's why the Bible says, grow up. And you know how you grow up? You learn about Jesus' love. That's why Paul's incredible prayer in Ephesians was that we would know the love of Christ. And not just know the love of Christ, but the height, the length, the breadth, the depth, every dimension of it. It's so immense, but yet that's one thing by His Spirit that we can know. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things I just don't know. But the one thing I'm knowing is the love of Christ. And how deep it is, and how wide it is, and how high it is, and how everlasting it is. Now, as we close this, if anyone's still not convinced that Jesus is the romantic lover of your soul, that this truly might not be the love story of the ages, you might believe that Jesus said, I am, and you believe that. You believe He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I want you to turn over to Mark 13, 32. And I'm going to show you here that Jesus is just like a young roe lover. Like a late teenager that is smitten beyond. Come on, you that saw Bambi, I'll call it thumper love. Wake up. Oh my. Listen to what's going on right now. Listen to that young roe heart sitting at the right hand of His Father. Let's listen to observe what He's observing right now as we're gathering today, rejoicing in His great love of that Paul's gospel story. It says in verse 32, but of that day, we're talking about the first trump day, and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, you gotta think about this. Even though Jesus is very God of very God, even though we know the Word of God says that He knows all things, He's created all things. By Him, all things hold together and consist. But yet there is one thing that Jesus doesn't know. Is that incredible? The one thing that He doesn't know is the moment His Father is going to turn to Him and say, Son, go get your bride. Now, come on! If that ain't the greatest love story ever told, this is very God of very God. And people could say, oh, that's just corny stuff. That's the real stuff. That's the stuff that causes the heart of His bride to leap and abound. That you know what? He's just like me in that. And I'm just like Him. We're in love. We're in love. As he said to her in the Song of Solomon, my sister, my spouse. Oh my goodness, the all-powerful one. Get the picture before you leave here today. And I pray you're flying out of here. But that all-powerful one sits at the right hand of the Father as a young lover, looking to his Father, looking to his direction, looking to his authority. When, Father? When can I go get her? When can I bring her into, as it says, my mother's house and consummate the marriage? Well, all I can tell you is the best part is happening right now. And those that are ready, you hear it. You hear him say, Father, can I go? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing else but that. There is none other thing to preach. There is no other gospel than to know his love and let it separate us out from among the camp, out from among the cares of this life. Praise God. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, what can we say but praise him? What can we say but thank you? What can we do but just give you all the praise, the glory, and honor and thanksgiving? And Lord, I do ask, wake us up. Lord, help us to pay attention. The coming of your Son is so soon. Father, you are the only one that knows when you're going to tell him, go get her, son. And Lord, help us to be in tune with that. Help our hearts to be just aching and groaning, Lord, to be with your beautiful Son. Lord, let us look for that out resurrection. Let us look for that first trump. God, let us have an ear that would hear that. That we're not slumbering. But Lord, that we are in love. In love and staying in love with his appearing. Lord, thank you for this message, this proposal of your glory. Thank you that we have ears to hear the word of your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you sent the Spirit, God, for us to hear what you're saying to the church of Philadelphia. Oh, hallelujah. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And in Jesus' name, we give you all the praise and thanksgiving. Amen.